wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute.
Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Sitting next to me, Sean Harper, co-founder of Kin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Well, welcome back, I should say.
Yeah, it was. When was the last time? It was like three, four,
30 employees ago is what it sounds like.
It was a lot. It feels like a long time.
I don't think it was that long because it was what? Like
it was
nine,
hot out, though. I think it was maybe August.
I think we did dinner. Did we do dinner with Vic Piscucci for the Light Bank dinner? And then like very shortly after that, we had you on the show.
That's
I think
right.
We met there.
Yeah, it was probably July or August or something.
Just
it seems like a lifetime ago.
It really does. Like, is that? Do you think that's like a startup thing or just in general? Because for me, I was just telling the guys on the way here, I'm like, we've been at Tech Nexus now in our space. It'll be a year in May. And I'm like, next year, by like 6 months in, we have to be doing something else. But I'm like, time flies. And it's hard to believe that a year went by.
I like to think it's a startup thing, but maybe we're just getting old.
Well, I assume the old part.
Yeah.
Like that's, I feel that. I went to the gym today, and I'm like, I need like a cane to walk around afterward. But anyway, so the time does fly, but you've been busy with it. Kin has been busy. I talk to, this is not confidential information. I talk to investors, on a daily basis, and I hear your name and I hear Kin a lot, so that's usually a good thing.
I hope they're saying good things.
Well, I can't tell you what they say.
Right.
It'd be breach confidentiality, but I'll wink at you that it's all good things. The fact that you have grown, I would say exponentially in the last year, would suggest that it's probably some good things. So why don't you tell us a little bit, for those who haven't, don't know who you are, haven't heard you on the show before, what exactly is Kin? And then, kind of run from there on sort of what you guys have been up to.
Cool. Yeah. So with Kin, we do property insurance. The main value proposition is we insure people's houses. We tend to insure houses that are maybe a little bit riskier, people who live near places where fires happen or earthquakes happen. And we allow you to sign up for your insurance with three clicks online or on your phone. It's usually we're pretty cost competitive. We're cheaper for most people. And we do a bunch of really cool stuff on the tech side to make owning your home easier. Or, if unfortunately something bad does happen to you, we're actually super, super fast at making sure that your house gets repaired. And there's a bunch of cool tech that you can use on that side. We went through probably one of the biggest things that happened since we last talked is there was a big hurricane in Florida, where a lot of our customers are. And it was a pretty amazing experience because, we actually got put to the test of, hey, we're an insurance company. Yeah, it is hard to make it a lot easier to sign up for insurance. You used to have to talk to people and fill out all these forms, and they would ask you silly questions like what kind of shingles are on your roof. That's hard to fix that. But when push comes to shove, as an insurance company, it's your job to like pay claims.
Yeah.
And make sure you're paying the right amount and that you're doing it as quickly as possible. And it really put us to the test. So that was kind of a cool experience. Because we got to use a bunch of new tech to actually like get people a really great experience from their insurance.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, how do you make, I mean, in any line of business, not even necessarily that one, insurance. I mean, we talked to a handful of companies that have come on here, and they're basically, legal is another one where like the forms, anything that is form into system becomes incredibly cumbersome. What are some of the ways that you're able to get rid of that like pain in the ass point for the customer? Because I feel like the biggest differentiator, whether you choose to go, whether it's insurance or it's lending or it's legal, the easiest way to grab customers is to go ahead and actually literally make life easier for them.
Yeah, people hate filling out paperwork.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
we were just complaining
absolutely.
About, we were trying to sign into the cable on our smart TV at the office. And I'm like, I know that Apple now has a thing where like you can scroll and it text your phone and you can write it in. But in all reality, it is still the worst experience ever is having to write in your email on like a one at a time thing on the TV.
It just sucks. So with insurance, and we do property insurance, which is something that's historically been one of the slower moving parts of insurance. The hard thing is really understanding the house because you need to know a lot about it. You need to know there are actually traits to your house that make it riskier or safer. The shape of your roof matters a lot. The condition of the shingles on the roof.
A stoner alcoholic son who lives in the basement.
Yeah, big deal.
Also a big deal.
Also, yeah, totally. All of these things contribute to a swimming pool. Is there a fence around the swimming pool? Is it a two-story house or a one-story house? And historically, the problem has been that there haven't been a lot of good sources of information for this. And so you either needed to ask the customer just this laundry list of questions. I mean, no kidding. If you go to some of the big insurance companies' websites and try to sign up, it's pages and pages and pages of questions. And who knows the answers to these things? I mean, what kind of shingles do you have on your
roof? Not a clue.
Yeah, no one knows. I don't know.
Yeah. I would know if I had solar panels, though. If I had those sweet-ass Elon Musk panels.
You would know.
I would know that. Yeah. I would have paid for that. I would have known that.
That's right.
Would something like that help or hurt?
No, so apparently we're looking at it.
Because like that's more expensive to replace, but...
Apparently they're very resilient.
Yes. Like I've actually heard that they last better in some cases, depending on where you live and the weather, that your inclement things that are hitting it, they're actually better than a roof. So like if you're in a hailstorm, assuming it wasn't, you know, the apocalypse, they actually stand up better than a traditional roof. Is what I'm told.
That's what I've heard as well. So it's pretty cool. And there's all this new tech coming that's actually like really impacting how we live. There are all these Internet of Things things that are inside of your house, some of which actually make you safer. We have one that we use a lot where it's a water sensor that goes on your water main where the water comes into the house, and it can actually tell if you have a leak, and not only ping you on your phone and say, hey, you have something looks weird about your water, you may want to go check it out. But actually, if you don't respond, it'll shut it off. The water losses are a really huge source of insurance claims because, you know, a small drip can turn into a big drywall replacement or electro.
As a complete sidebar, I've had a leaky faucet in my bathroom going on like 6 months now. That water bill, I can only the building covers it, so I'm just sort of like this little thing in there. I have no idea. Somebody turned the water off, but it's like I mean to actually have that fixed, but it's just one of those things that like, this is like the lazy man's problem, right? I'm looking at this. I probably could fix myself. I don't care. I'm like looking at it. At first, it was just like a little bit of water that would pool, and then it became a drip, and now it's like a stream.
It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. So what we're really great at is taking all the information that's out there, and you know there's a lot. If anyone who's searched online their address can tell, there's so much information, and that's just what you as a person can see. That doesn't take any of the other more esoteric data sources that we use into account. And by pulling all of that in, we know more about your house than you do. We know more about your house than a legacy insurance agent does. We know more about your house than a legacy insurance company does. And we can use that to make your life easier.
Well, I think it's obviously, as I said before, the first one, a brilliant idea. I think one of the things that's particularly interesting to me is based in Chicago, that's not the place where the majority of your clients live. And so I think one of the, to me at least, this is, in, you know, this is this your first company you founded? I don't feel like it's...
No, this is my fourth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember talking to you in that you were like a multi-time founder. I think one of the, I asked that because I think one of the things that Chicago has been plagued with from the outside is that they have this feeling that Chicago takes sort of like a local homeboy kind of like approach to everything. It's like, I built a business to solve a Chicago problem. It's not scalable. And so like then we try to find a way to scale it and it doesn't work, or it does, or whatever. And we're starting to see companies like yourself and founders like yourself who are multi-time have like kind of figured out how this whole thing works, that are building cool companies here in Chicago that quite honestly could be anywhere. You could be on the moon if you wanted to run Kin. So like, how did you start a company and then start breaking into those markets? What was the way that you're getting customers to know who you were, other than multiple shirts that are sweet?
We've got all the shirts.
Does that come with the Chester, is the question?
No, it doesn't.
It's your own.
Yeah, it's part of the shirt, actually. We've got all styles of Kin shirts. You have a crew, a V, whatever. We got some gray ones today.
Nice.
So I think first of all, I don't agree with that we take a more local approach.
I don't either, to be clear, but I get that a lot. Like when we went to Dreamforce, we were talking to all these companies and every single person was like, so you guys, like real estate is a thing that people talk about a lot here, which is for obvious reasons, but like every single assumption that was thrown at me was something that was like, that just sounds Chicago. Hmm. And I was just sort of like, why is that? And then I actually came back and started looking around. I was like, I didn't look to companies we have today. I looked at companies that I've had on my show dating back like 3 years. And I'm like, holy cow. It actually is like kind of true. Like there's a bunch of companies that at least that were getting the most notoriety. And they were all kind of random Chicago-y feel companies that just weren't working. And I don't know if it's like things have changed now. There's maybe a little bit more money. It's not where we want it to be, but there's more money coming in. But I think the biggest change is just multi-time founders that like actually kind of like this sounds terrible, are for real.
I think there's something to that. And first of all, New York and San Francisco are way worse about building stuff that's just for New York or San Francisco.
Oh my God, yes. They need a little self.
They have to get out of those places a little bit.
It would be nice.
For sure.
Just don't come here, though. I don't. Well, I mean,
if you're a talented engineer or marketer or product manager, you should come here.
You should come to Chicago and cheaper real estate for right now.
Yeah.
But otherwise.
It's a great place to live.
Yeah.
The commercials aside, I do think that there's something to it in that my last I had two companies ago, a payment processing company that was in very many ways similar to Kin. It was a financial services company. We were streamlining sort of esoteric business processes. And we started out in a way that we were very, very early in that space, and we totally fumbled it. And like, it was a good outcome for us. It was a good outcome for our investors. We sold it to Groupon. That was a great experience for everybody involved. But we got passed by like four Bay Area companies.
Yeah.
And it's because the way we were going about the problem was in a very practical, resource-constrained way. And I think a lot of it stemmed from that. We could only raise $1 million.
Yeah.
And our competitors said, well, wait a second. Let's solve more of the customer problem, and let's go raise $50 million and really get after it.
See, I think that, like, you're hitting on that. That to me has always been something that I've kind of noticed about Chicago, and I don't know if it's as much the people who come from Chicago as much as it is the resources that previously have been available. Like you said, we only raised $1 million, they raised 50. But I also look at it as there's this conservativeness to the way we approach. I have a couple of friends in San Francisco that, again, no commercials necessary, but like in San Francisco, they're $1 million. Like they laugh you like, why would you spend all that time lobbying around to raise capital and that's all you're going to get out of it? And it's like, what? Like it would have never have dawned on me to take that approach. And yet, sometimes I think here we don't think big enough.
Totally. There's two ways to think about it. One is, you know, I don't want to waste money. So I'm going to raise as little as I can.
Yep.
And I'm going to prove milestone. And I'm going to go raise a little bit more. I'm going to prove a milestone. I'm going to raise a little bit more. And that's there's
slow.
Something really good about
that. It's definitely good, but it's slow.
Being practical, and no one likes waste. But on the other hand, you can look at it the other direction and say, well, here's an industry where the biggest player has a $50 billion market cap. And there are a lot of people that big. So could I take $100 million and create the same thing but better as that guy? Yeah, probably you could. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of advantages. You're starting from scratch. You don't have the legacy stuff. You may have a fresh
move
perspective.
Quickly.
You can move really quickly. Probably you can. So why not? Why not raise the $100 million and create the $50 billion company? It's not actually that wasteful.
No, I agree.
Waste the money,
no, I totally agree with you. I just think that here the challenge has always been with the investors themselves, like trying to convince them. But here's the part where I see a really great future with this. And the more companies like yours and the more companies that you run through, please do more after you sell Kin, which I'm just going to guess is going to happen. We need more people like you to prove that this is a successful route here, because where I see us having huge opportunities with the large companies that are around us, they are aware now that we're trying to gun for them and take them at the knees. So they would be more willing to put some money in something that potentially is their disruptor rather than just sit there and watch them get whacked away.
Yeah. And I also think, like, as somebody who is probably never going to leave Chicago and has been here for a long time, it's sort of a matter of survival for us.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about, like, insurance is a great example, because we have some really big, profitable, great insurance companies here. Okay, well, what happens if the whole next wave of insurance companies are all in San Francisco and New York?
Completely lopsided, yeah. Chicago's
what happens
got
to
a
our
big
economy?
Problem.
And you look around, and I think banking is a really good example. Like, we don't really have any Chicago banks anymore. I mean,
thank goodness that our sponsors at Bank of America are not here today. I'm just kidding. But like, in all seriousness, we actually had Chicago. We had our sponsors, Bank of America. We had them at a lunch and learn on Friday last week, and this was a good outcome, so I can say it. But we had I think you know, or maybe know of Chris Rettner from Akuba.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chris is there, and if you know Chris, you know how this can go, and he's sitting next to these big bankers as he's disrupting, you know, the hell out of them. And they're like going through all these different random kind of, here's what we do with this banking line, here's what we do with this one. He's like, yep, we do that in 30 seconds. Yep, we do that in 50 seconds. Download the app. Yep, that's gone. And I'm just sitting there watching the face of these Bank of America guys, and at the end of it, they literally like, we wish that our bank would spend money on tech like you early, because it would only make, like, some people are going to lose their jobs, let's be honest, but it only makes it easier. Like, imagine for like company like Kin, imagine the disruption, and this is probably a bad example, but Is it Allstate's the guy who keeps running into shit? What's the
I don't watch a lot of television. I don't know.
You don't listen to music. You don't watch television. What? Do you just work?
I'm working
a lot?
All the time.
Right? That's the kind of founders we create in Chicago. Mayhem, the Mayhem guy.
Okay.
Anyway, the Mayhem guy, imagine if they, from day one, I'm not saying that this was even an opportunity for them, but imagine day one they called you and said, we love what you're doing. We want you to be a part of this. We're not buying the company. We're just make a strategic investment. We want the technology to be something we have available to us, yada, yada, yada. All the people that they have working there could be focused on making the customer experience better so that they don't go to State Farm. And instead, they're in an arms race with somebody else who offers the same thing, which also sucks. We're not going to have a sponsorship from those two now. But you get what I'm saying? Like, that opportunity, and I think it is only a matter of time before, like, younger folks who get jobs at these companies are saying, what the hell? Like, arm us with tools we can use, which I don't know how you feel about that, but...
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I mean, you can almost look at you. It's easy to look at an industry that's been there for a long time and is making a lot of money and say they should do something differently.
Well, of course. Yeah.
On the other hand, they've been there a long time and they're making a lot of money. And so why rock the boat?
No, I totally agree, except for when the boat capsizes and then.
Yeah, that's why to have a healthy ecosystem, you need both. You need the big companies and then you need smaller companies because you can try stuff. I mean, what we're doing may not work. I think it'll work really, really well. It is working really, really well.
Yeah.
But it's hard for a big company to take a risk like that.
What do you see as sort of the next wave of focus for you? You're growing, the company's growing. What is the next focus point for Kin to be even more? When I see you next, when you say to me, we have 70 employees, what do you got to do?
Hopefully it'll be more than that.
I mean, maybe I'll have you on next week. Okay, who knows?
That's true.
You never know. We could come calling anytime. You saying yes is a different question, different answer.
Yeah. But, so for us, it's additional geographies. We're building what we believe will be an iconic brand that people remember forever, a top five consumer brand. Insurance is something that everybody needs. To do that, we need to be everywhere.
Yep.
So that's a big one, geographic expansion. The other is getting really deep into people's houses and think about, well, hey, how can we change? Like, yes, insurance is important. You need it. But how can we change the whole experience of owning a house and make it safer and more enjoyable and less of a hassle? Those are two really big efforts for us.
Have I ever asked you how specifically you guys make money?
Yeah, we're an insurance company. We collect premiums.
So that's the main,
yeah, that's it.
Main deal.
There's a ton of money in insurance.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah,
too much, actually. That's one of our big
that's kind of why I asked that question, because you sort of alluded to it, that, like, you know, in the, not to, like, I don't want to keep knocking on people. We would someday want to ask for money. So we'll be nice to all see.
Yeah, but so the thing is, like, insurance is super important. Like, yeah. Without insurance, none of this stuff around us happens.
Yep.
It's too risky. You can't do the first trips across the Atlantic Ocean unless you have insurance. It's super important. The problem is that, at least for property insurance, what we do, it's also very, very wasteful. And so every dollar that you pay your property insurance company, only 50 cents actually goes back to pay claims. All right, well, where does the rest of the money go? Well, 20% of it goes to storefronts and those commercials that you've been watching.
Yep.
20% goes to just overhead. And then 10% goes to, when a claim does happen, administering that claim, which is also another kind of overhead, basically. Yeah. And so that's a lot of room to do things more efficiently. So we look at that and we say, well, hey, what can we take that 50 cents and make that, we'll cut the 50 cents that's being wasted down to 20 cents because we're building things from scratch. We don't need the same kind of retail presence. We're not going to try and hire Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to, build on 1960s computer systems because why would we? Let's take that 50 cents and make it 20 cents.
And I guess that was kind of my point, was you were alluding to that when you were describing it. To me, seems like a great opportunity for Kin is just being someone who's thought of as, listen, like, yeah, we got you. We got you back. We're good. But we're actually working really hard to make it to where you don't have to pay as much so that we don't have to charge as much because it doesn't cost us as much. We're still going to figure out how to make our money and make sure we make what we make. But we can reduce that load on you, the customer, by helping your house be less expensive to maintain, less risky.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. There's a bunch of stuff where we can do, it goes down to the, I was talking about the water sensor thing before, but it comes to, you know, there are some really simple examples. You know, a lot of people don't get their gutters cleaned often enough.
I fell off a ladder and was in a sling for 12 weeks because I tried to clean the gutter. So
yeah, it's you probably shouldn't be. You should probably leave that to somebody else.
So. We had a bunch of landscapers actually showing up right afterward, and I found out my mom had been on the roof first off. So I was like, what the hell? I'll do it. And then I fell off the ladder, and then I'm in getting x-rays, and she literally was like, my dad texted me, was like, landscapers are here. And I was like, you didn't think to ask the landscapers? And she was like, oh, I didn't want to hassle them. What?
Yeah, it's
you'll hassle me. You'll kick me off a ladder.
So can we make it easier to get your gutters cleaned? Probably.
Yeah.
And will that reduce the likelihood that your gutters get clogged and then the water gets in and it freezes and it creates a real problem on your roof? Yeah, we think so. Will that reduce your insurance costs? Yeah, we think so. So there are a bunch of these really cool ways we can reduce the risk and actually make things cheaper and safer.
You guys giving away advisor shares still? I would love to jump on that team. I would contribute nothing, but I would love to be on that team.
We've got t-shirts.
You know what? That's a starting point.
All right.
I'll start with that. Thank you so much for coming in, Sean. Where do people go to use Kin?
Kin.com.
Oh, that's right. You got Kin.com. Nice. Congrats on that. That's a good
one.
Very cool. Thank you so much for coming in today. Appreciate it. If you want to check this out and more, you can go to technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.